Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday. Friday, May the 1st, 2026. May Day. And April showers bring May showers. 12 minutes past the hour here, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And I think we're going to have some visitors later on this morning. Going to be a lot of fun here at WGH Talk Radio. And we might even have some tonight during the Friday night show, 8 to 10 p.m., so you're not going to want to miss any of that. Again, phone lines are open this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. Well, what I wanted to get to here was the ugliness of politics, because we are just a few days away from the election. And the race that is getting uglier than any other race, apparently at this point, is this 86th district race. Now, I have said this is an ugly race. You're talking about mailers, you're talking about signs, you're talking about commercials, you're talking about whatever. It's just ugly, ugly, ugly. And it continued to get ugly even in the last few days here. I don't know what's going to happen as we head into the election on May the 5th. But here's the thing. Okay, apparently Ben Weber got a good rating from... You'll like this story. From the Ohio gun owners. Apparently they all got good ratings.
I can imagine.
Okay. So they all got good ratings from the Ohio gun owners. Then, yesterday, day before, sometime this week, I don't know what happened, but the Ohio gun owners found out that apparently gun control lobbyists had given to the Ben Weber campaign. So, they rescinded his ranking. Now, guess who let everybody know that his ranking had been rescinded?
Wesley,
yes. So, and then there's even a little video from one of the guys from the Ohio gun owners group who says why this happened, and I think pretty well says Wesland's a nice person, or he might have endorsed her. I really don't even know. Ooh. It's like a 5-minute video. Somebody from the Ohio gun owners. Okay, so then Ben goes to his page and reminds everybody that Buckeye Firearms, which is the biggest organization, has still given him a passing, you know, A grade rating or whatever it is. So there we are. Another punch, 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 tit for tat in this election. What do you make of that? It's right up your alley, guns.
I don't think you'd be. I don't think you should be taking money from the gun control packs if you're gonna.
I don't know. That's what he did. I don't know. It seemed to me that. We can play the, it's 5 minutes long, and he explains what exactly happened.
Okay.
Oh, we can play it. I don't know. Maybe that is what happened. I don't know. But this guy's doing, they're doing a lot, look, they're rescinding a lot of people. I don't know. But they did this whole one about the, yeah, Ben Weber, here it is. Okay. Hold on. Let's hear this thing. And hopefully everybody can hear it okay. This is, who is this guy? He's from the Ohio, maybe he'll announce who he is. It's a 5-minute video. Here we go. So we're going to find out what happens. What happened here?
I've got some alarming news for pro-gun freedom voters in this House District 86 Republican primary that you need to know about. It looks like this race is coming down to a two-way battle between Wesley Davis, who earned our AQ rating for her perfect score on the gun rights candidate questionnaire, and a guy named Ben Weber, who also surveyed with us. Now, we've been doing our due diligence here to make sure that people are who they say they are, And we just uncovered a mountain of bad information about Ben Weber that you guys need to know about. Stick around. I'm going to go over the worst of the information last. So stay with me here for a second. So first of all, Weber is being funded and backed by a slew of heavy donors from the DeWine machine. Chief among them, I would say right off the bat, is Doug Price, who is the very embodiment of the Columbus cabal. This guy goes way back. He ran Kasich's POTUS campaign in 2016 against Trump. He ran DeWine's gubernatorial campaign. He ran DeWine's staff after he became governor. He worked in the Ohio Senate for years. He ran a bunch of the establishment's reelection campaigns over the years. Chair of the Franklin County Republicans. If establishment political hacks had a hack that they all looked up to, this DeWine lieutenant would be in the Hall of Fame. This guy is dumping cash into Ben Weber like he's buying Apple stock at $5. Weber's also getting cash from Cleveland Browns lobbyist Brian Pereira. You know why the taxpayer-funded billion-dollar boondoggle sailed through the General Assembly so quickly last year? It's because the Browns lobbyists own these legislators, and here's Weber getting the cash already. And today we learned that he's getting money from the gun control lobby, the OACOP. He's getting it right through their lobbyist, Abe Jacob. Abe Jacob worked to get DeWine elected as attorney general, and now he's lobbying for the Ohio Association of Chiefs of Police. OACOP is controlled by all of the major city metro chiefs of police. They're as anti-gun as they come. And OACOP is one of the chief lobbyist organizations opposing every pro-gun bill in Columbus going back to 2004. And you know who else Abe Jacobs lobbies for? Les Wexner, his Bath and Body Works. He even lives over there in New Albany. And Ben Weber is getting campaign cash from the gun control lobby. It doesn't get any better from here. Ben Weber's also getting money from gay rights activist Melissa Hoffel and another gay rights activist named Madison Whalen, who both work for Equality Ohio. These are folks trying to destroy the traditional family. Not good. He's getting money from Somali lobbyist Andrew Havas. He's the lobbyist for the Somali Community Association of Ohio, probably setting up luring centers all over Columbus. These fraudsters need to be sent back to Somalia, not given preferential treatment by the state house. But here's Ben Weber getting campaign cash from them. Now, that's all bad, okay? The fact that he's getting money from the gun control lobby is going to strip him of his AQ rating, but it's about to get even worse. From the data that we're looking at in the disclosures, Ben Weber is getting absolute mountains of campaign cash from everyone connected with building out and profiting from these massive data centers. Kentucky PACs, Indiana PACs, Ohio PACs, all of these organizations lining up to absolutely pilfer the taxpayers to build these data centers are shoveling money into Ben Weber's account. Thousands and thousands of dollars per group at a time. It's pretty easy to see why. The now only AQ-rated candidate in this race, of these two, I should say, Weslin Davis, got the first moratorium on these data centers passed in the entire state of Ohio. So all of these globalist companies that hate America, hate Ohio culture, and want to pilfer Ohioans for their land, for their water, for their tax subsidies, for electricity, they view Weslin Davis as enemy number one to be kept out of the Ohio State House. When you see guys like Richie Ramey from automate.org dumping money into Ben Weber's campaign account when they're openly and brazenly promoting AI data-centered powered humanoid robotics to replace physical humans in employment settings, it isn't hard to figure out what's going on here. These companies are trying to buy the Ohio General Assembly. And as a gun rights organization, all of this is anti-gun. It's all a totalitarian state. That's the direction it's going. So if you see Weslin Davis on the campaign trail, thank her for being a total fighter for freedom against some of this stuff. If you see Ben Weber on the campaign trail, tell him to apologize for lining his campaign pockets with monies of special interest groups and gun control organizations and lobbyists who want to destroy the Ohio way of life.
Okay, well, there you go. Ugly, ugly. I'm sure glad we listened to that. I'm sure. So basically, what did we find out? Okay, now, what?
Oh, okay, so I didn't know what the OA, obviously it's an acronym, I wanted to know what it stood for. It's the Ontario Association Chiefs of Police. So
okay.
Like Canada.
The police.
Like Canada.
Okay.
By the way, they have stated that they are not, there's an assault rifle, assault-style firearms compensation program. They're not a fan of that. That's pro-gun. And they emphasize that the majority of guns used in crimes are smuggled guns. So they're not, I guess, they say that they are pro-Second Amendment for law-abiding citizens.
Okay. But that's not what he said.
That is not what he said.
Okay. Now,
Also, he called it an anti-firearm pact. It's the Ontario, like, chief of police safety pack thing.
Now, does this mean... Now, so that's a police organization.
Yes.
Okay. Now, does that mean Weslin's against that group? Now, I don't know, because we don't hear from her. So, is that what the implication is?
I mean...
Because she's not for them, because they don't like that group.
Even if she is opposed to them specifically. I mean, I don't know. Like, that's, like, the Ontario, like...
Well, but if we have to hear a whole 5-minute video about that thing.
It's from Canada. Why do I care what Canada thinks about
that
U.S.
guy,
politics?
That
I'm
guy,
how I feel
that
about U.S.
guy
politics.
Thinks
I'm
you care.
I'm not going to vote in Canada, Canadian politics.
Well, I again, I think the point is lost here. That's what that guy thinks. That's what this is all about.
Well, I mean, he lied. Well, I don't know that he lied necessarily, I guess. I mean, I think he thinks he's telling the truth.
Okay, and why in that video, this is the, what is it, the Ohio gun owners. How did we get into gay rights?
Oh, we got into a lot of things, didn't
now,
we?
Now, so is Weslin against gay rights?
I don't know. I don't.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out because it seemed like there was... He started off by saying there are two candidates.
I think he was just listing off things he did not like about Ben, probably.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
First of all, I do not understand. If somebody gives money to your campaign, that means you're beholden to them? Is that the idea?
That is, in fact, the idea.
Okay. So that's really what this is all about. So everybody who gives money... So if somebody who is pro-gun comes to me and gives me money, and somebody who's anti-gun comes to me and gives me money, then what? What am I? Because I can guarantee. Why?
You took money from opposing PACs. I think if you took money from one PAC, the other PAC probably isn't going to offer you money.
Well, again, if they do. Well, what if people who give you money, who are pro gun, give you money? Are you beholden to them?
That's the theory, yeah.
Well, okay, so you think there aren't two people who have opposing viewpoints who have given people money?
Given the same candidate
yeah.
money?
Yeah. You know, everybody's got the exact same viewpoint on everything.
No.
Okay, then how can you...
But if
what
I'm,
does it matter?
But if I'm pro-gun, why would a gun control pack offer me money? I'm gonna... I'd probably take money from the NRA.
But apparently a gun control pack did not offer him money.
But you mentioned the gun control pack.
No, but I'm just trying to figure out
here. In this specific case, it's not even a gun control pack.
But they think it is.
Well, it's not, so they're wrong. I don't know what you want to say about that.
Well, you tell them they're wrong.
The Ontario Association Chiefs of Police, OACOP.
So I guess the point is, why is that out there? Why is that a thing? And why is the largest group in Ohio, the Buckeye Firearms group, still giving him an AQ rating? If he's done all this awful stuff.
Because the OACOP is not a gun control pack.
So, why is this even a thing?
I guess he feels I guess he feels that the OACOP is anti Second Amendment or
it would again
pro gun control.
Seem to me one of these candidates feels they're in trouble, so they've got to do things like this because I think they're getting buried in this campaign. So if that helps you,
well,
okay.
What did Wesleyan Davis do to? I mean, like, what could she say to this guy to have him just throw all the other candidates under the bus and support her?
I don't know.
I don't see that as logical. I mean, I guess it's possible, but like, what would she have to do? Like, you can't pay the man. That's illegal.
Well, no, I don't think she paid the guy.
Well, he has apparently changed ratings for everybody but her.
So he did all this research, and he just decided this was what he was going to do. Because if I were a member of that group, and I were going to come out days before an election and say all this, I might say that stuff if I've done my own research, but why would I encourage people to vote for the other candidate so fervently? How do I know there's not something dark in their past? I honestly could not care less. I could not care less. I don't live in that district. I could not care less about any of this stuff. I just think it's nasty. And that's what the difference to me, if anybody asked me what the difference between Ben Weber and Wesleyan Davis is, I have not seen Ben do or post something like that. And that's the difference. It, as I've said many times, it seems like Wesleyan is going, they're out to get me, they're out to get me, they're out to get me. Look at all these big money people, which is essentially what that video was. All these big money people, all these high players, they want to take me out during this election because I'm going to do things that you want me to do. So, poor me. And, you know, I don't like that.
I mean, that's not exactly a new campaign strategy.
Well, I don't see Ben using that campaign strategy.
Well, Ben.
I don't see Stephen Wolf using that campaign strategy.
I didn't say that.
And Stephen should certainly use that campaign strategy. We can't even remember his name.
I can remember his name. You can't remember his name.
That's because you didn't have watched Wings.
Okay, well.
Anyway, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But again, the point is, do you really think any of these people are going to be pro-gun control? You believe Ben Weber's going to be the Republican representative from that district and be pro-gun control? You believe that?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, there you go. Case closed.
No, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you just said it.
I said probably not.
Probably no. He's going to come out for gun control.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to come out for.
He's a state rep. He's got one vote. Yeah. It's a Republican-controlled legislature.
Now, okay, look, I do believe Ben Weber probably is pro Second Amendment, but he could always just say he's pro Second Amendment and then get to the state house and then just vote. You know, against.
But couldn't anybody do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what makes the difference?
I guess there is no difference.
Right. Again, I don't understand things like that.
Well, he didn't take money from an anti-gun pack. There's that. But if you believe he took money from a I don't know, what would you call it? Just gun control pack?
I don't know. See, I would think that's a hard road to go because it's police officers, right?
Yes.
Okay, so are you anti-police if you don't like that pact?
Well, they refer to it as a. Well, I think that's why they didn't say what the OACOP was, because it's not.
So now, can I infer that Wesleyan, who does not support that pack, is anti-police? I mean, is that what? That's as silly as saying the other.
No, I wouldn't do that. I mean, again,
right, but again,
that's the Ontario. Like, I don't. That's Canada.
Again, so why are we even talking about this?
I don't know. I don't know why Canada is even bothered with the election. Why does Canada care about the state rep election for?
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, it's so ridiculous.
Well, I guess it is specifically Ontario, and, you know, Ontario's, like, right over there. But still, Canada.
Are their laws going to have anything to do with our laws?
Canada?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, what's the point?
There's some... I don't know. Never mind. I don't know. I'm sure there's some, I don't know, something to it.
So what's your feeling on this race and what it's boiled down to?
I still feel like Ben Weber's... I still think Ben Weber's got it.
Well, as I say, I was talking to somebody who is a Democrat, and they told me yesterday, I mean, they'll have no intention to vote for Ben Weber, but they remarked on how well a campaign he's running with the ads, with the signs, with the literature, that they said he's running the best campaign in this area, including the statewide candidates, and that they knew his name was part of that. I said I didn't know anything about him, but they knew his name because of his signs, his ads, his literature, him being out a lot of places. It's true. I said the other day, if you have somebody drive down the boulevard and you say, what's the name you are going to recognize the most, it's going to be Ben Weber.
Probably.
So, you got to say he's running an effective campaign.
Well, I think so. I mean, he's been busy.
And then Weslin, again, she's driven. She obviously wants this job. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure what happened to her campaign. It's become a Facebook thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she was at the fair. I don't recall seeing her. Ben was at the fair every day. Yeah, I mean, I know Ben's got the big signs. You see those all over the place. Weslin's got a couple of the big signs, too. But, even the ads that they run. Weslin's ads, we watched one of each Weslin and Ben's ads. And Weslin's ads attack Ben. Ben's ads do not attack Weslin.
Well, and again, I think that comes to the point. Weslin is a divisive person. And that's tough. I don't think people see Ben as divisive. I think they see him as, I'm going to vote for him or I'm not going to vote for him. But I don't think they're not voting for him because they don't like him. I have heard people say, I'm not voting for her because I don't like her.
Do you have to like somebody to vote for him?
You don't have to, but it certainly helps.
Like, if I just, like, absolutely despised you as a person, but I thought you'd be, like, a very effective state rep, and I tended to agree with, you know, the things you agreed with, there's a fair chance I could vote for you.
But in a primary, that doesn't work, because as you have said about this race, they all believe about the same thing, so obviously you're gonna pick the person you like the best.
Well, I mean, all three of them came on here, and they all said they were pro-family, and pro-Second Amendment, and pro-small business, and...
How do they feel about pro-$5 gas prices?
Pro-Trump. You know, it's funny. There was a dude. There's a dude who I'm related to who's recently been on Facebook complaining about the gas prices. But you know, he was a big champion of Trump.
Okay, so the phone lines are open. If anybody's got any thoughts here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So why do you? You know, here's the thing that I have to look for common denominators. This state rep race, particularly the 86th district. Has been the nastiest race the last two times. When Tracy Richardson was running last time, it was a nasty race. Matter of fact, there were even articles written about how nasty it had gotten. It's nasty this time. What's the common denominator here? So, you know, that's a problem. And when you say a lot of things, whether they're true or not, you
Who
can become...
Who started it?
I don't know.
I guess it's, you know, I mean, I don't know who started it, but there is a common denominator there.
I guess we'll find out on election night. I mean, anything can happen, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think Ben Weber is going to, I think he's got that.
All right. Phone lines are open. 740.
And he's got the Richardson support now.
Yeah, Tracy Richardson endorsed him. Jack Kellogg endorsed him.
Yep.
Jack
Kellogg just earned an award. He's obviously still got some weight in the Republican Party.
Lifetime Achievement Award, only standing ovation that night. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And then you've got the local commissioner race just days away. Four people running there.
Vote Jason Jobber.
Oh, well, you're just saying who you're going to vote for.
Well, no.
No.
See, it's a primary.
Right. So you're not going to vote in the primary?
I will probably vote in the primary. I just haven't decided which ballot to take.
Oh. Well, who do you think is going to win that one?
The commissioner race?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how the split happens. But, it would seem that, I mean, I don't know. Apparently, according to you guys, last time Jason Schauber was in the county commissioner race, he got something like 30%.
He did.
So, you know, if he gets somewhere close to that, and you got 70% to split between three people. So I guess it depends on, on how that whole thing happens.
I think that's going to be difficult, but I don't know.
I think it's going to be a close race. Just probably on the grounds of the vote split.
It could be close. But see, the problem is on the other side, I don't know who the favorite is. You know, I really don't. Because if you're talking about signs, you would probably have to say Mooney. If you're talking about running a Facebook campaign, you'd probably have to say Neff. If you're talking...
Neff's got plenty of signs.
Right, plenty of signs as well. Okay, if you're talking about name recognition, you're probably talking about Stuyvesant, who's had the job before. Had the job 2 years ago, or 4 years ago. If you're talking about the outsider in the race and somebody who's doing unique things to try to get elected, you'd have to say it was Jason Schauber. So, I don't know. That's why I think if one of the Republicans, the core group of Republicans, the not Jason, put Jason to the side with his 30% of the vote, if one of those people were running away with the election because the other two were not campaigning hard, then you would say, well, that probably is the person who's odds on favorite to win. But who would that be? Who's running away with it on the other side?
I don't think there's anybody running away with it.
which is why I think there's a problem there for them. Because they've got 70% of the vote to split up, but nobody is really pulling away like Davidson pulled away from Kerr Murray. You know, I think Davidson had close to 40% of the vote, and that left Kerr Murray with somewhere, you know, close to 30%, but not quite, finished third in that race, and he was the sitting commissioner. So that's where your 70% went, that race. You know, 40% with Davidson, which gave him the win, and under 30% for Kerr Murray, which put him in third place, and Jason had his 30%. So if you split that three ways, who's going to walk away with 39% of the vote of those three Republicans?
Well, you don't need 39%.
Well, 31%. Because somebody's going to have to do very poorly for somebody to do very well, is the point.
I based on yard signs again, I mean, I don't get on Facebook, so I really couldn't tell you about anything about Facebook campaign. But, I mean, based on the yard signs, I think Stuyvesant's got the least amount of yard signs. I think
it's probably he's also the name people probably know the best. He did not lose to Dr. Davis by a whole lot. That was a very, very, very close primary.
This is his seat, isn't it, Dr. Davis?
Yep, same seat. So you can't say Stuyvesant's going to be blown away. And I don't know about Neff because she's never run for office. So I don't know where she stands in this. And Mooney, he ran against Apatheller, and Apatheller, I think, beat him by over 10%, something like that.
Apatheller's been there for a while, though, hasn't he? Like the longest-serving commissioner?
Yeah, but I mean, I think Mooney got a little over 40% in that two-person race. So, what when you split that three ways, what's going to happen?
Well, Apatow is not in the race.
Right, but I'm saying, if you had to pick right now, of those three, who's going to get the most votes, you would say?
I don't know. Mooney or Neff, one of those two.
See, the fact that you have to say that is that's the problem. That if they're even close, they're going to cancel it out. Because the problem then becomes, let's say, because you can't say Stuyvesant's not going to get anything. So you've a former commissioner, you've got to give at nobody has finished below 20% in a long time. So you cannot say Stuyvesant's going to go below 20. So put him flat out at 20. Okay, that means you got 50% of the vote left. So if they're both going to finish above Stuyvesant, but one's got to get above 30%, that means one has got to be at about 22% and one's got to be at about 31%, 32%. So who's going to do that? Who's going to be more? Who's going to be 10% ahead of the other candidate? You think that that's logically possible in that race, that one of them will finish more than 10% ahead of the nearest candidate?
Could.
But who would that be?
I don't know that it's likely.
And that's what has to happen.
I mean, I don't know. It's a different election. People can I want to change their opinions about people.
All I know, if I were Jason Schauber, I would try to get 30% of the vote, and if I could get 30% of the vote, I would feel pretty comfortable.
Well, I'd be aiming for, like, you know, all of it. Try to get 100% of the vote.
Well, again,
never going to happen, but, you know,
you have to
aim high.
See, that's where presidential candidates go wrong. They say, I want to win states that I really don't have a chance to win, but I'm competitive there, so I'm going to spend time in that state, when, in the end, if they would have just spent time in the states that they needed.
Nah, see, but this isn't a presidential campaign. You don't have to go out of state. You're in the county.
But you cannot shake everybody's hand in the county. It's impossible. So you've got to go to the strongholds that you think you can possibly get that can get you to 30% of the vote. Now, if you can get more, good. That's fine. It doesn't hurt you. But you've got to make sure that you've got that 30% sewn up. Because if you've got that 30% sewn up, then you're probably the odds-on favorite. But Jason, if you don't, then you're in trouble.
Jason might have a lot of support in the, third ward? Third ward?
Well, yeah, but I think to get 30% of the vote the last time out, there was support in other places, too.
Well, I would assume there's support in other places.
Right, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think the commissioner's race is going to be interesting.
Well, it's also interesting because that's going to elect the commissioner, because that there is no Democrat in that race.
Yes,
so
no, it's unfortunate.
So the person who gets that seat will win. I don't know who's going to win it right now, but I think it's going to be very, very tight. I don't think the 86th district is going to be tight. I don't.
Probably not.
Tracy Richardson beat Wesleyan by 20%, and it doesn't seem like... And I think Ben is campaigning harder than Tracy did.
I think Ben has run a good campaign.
And then what else do we got? Not a whole lot locally. I mean, that's really it.
Got...
And you have to go to the state stuff.
Two levies.
Yeah. Levies don't do well.
Depends on how much money they're worth, I guess.
Which levy do you think is going to pass and which one's going to fail?
I don't know how much they're worth. I'd have to see
it. Do you think people know?
When you... right now? Probably not. But when you get there, it'll say...
I don't think levies will do well.
When you get there, it'll say, X number of dollars for an X, number of dollared house and...
More Republicans are going to turn out in this primary because there are far more Republican things to vote for. And Republicans also seem to be backing the no property tax. So levies are not probably going to have a good night.
Well, I mean, levees usually don't have a good night. People don't want to pay.
Well, sometimes they do. River Valley passed their school
yeah,
levy.
Yeah, but River Valley likes to fearmonger.
I see. There you go.
I was there. I know what the levees are like.
Okay.
They were like, hey, well, you know, if this levy doesn't pass, we might have to axe orchestra. Hey, you know that VEX program that you're a part of? Well, that might have to get gone.
Yeah, well, it might have.
They literally just started, oh, we're going to axe curriculums or extracurriculum.
Well,
like,
how do you know it wouldn't have happened?
Well, I mean, either way, it's fear-mongering. I wasn't a fan of it.
Well, what if it's the truth?
Well, if it was the truth, then I don't think it was the truth.
Spend money. See, you don't think, but you don't know.
Money,
that's the problem.
Spend money more wisely.
Who tells the truth all the time in these campaigns?
Well, I don't think that it's if they are telling the truth, then I guess it is what it is. If they weren't telling the truth, then I don't think you should be lying to kids about losing extracurriculum so they can go to their parents and convince them.
Why don't the kids are voting?
Yeah, that's why I said so you can convince the kids to go to their parents to pass the levy.
You don't think that the kid I think that that's where you get the votes is from the parents. I think the problem
obviously.
Right, but I don't vote yes votes.
There's some old people I also know who vote yes on the levies because
right,
of the whole,
I'm
like
saying,
new generation kind of thing.
But the more negative votes come from the people who don't have kids and the people who don't have kids in school anymore. That's usually the problem you have. People who have kids who go to that school tend usually to vote for those things, no matter what people say.
I know school levies that have been shot down by people, well, I mean, obviously not the people at the school, but, like, in general, but I know, like, when I went to...
Nothing's 100%.
Like, when I went to Cardington, a lot of people in Cardington weren't good, happy about the levy, and I do believe that levy did go down, but that was years ago.
That's fine. Nothing's 100%.
Like a decade.
I'm just saying, if you look at any school levy, it is the people who have kids in the school who tend to vote yes. That's where your yes vote comes from. And that's why they try to appeal to people outside of that group. And it's also true that as of late, one of the reasons they put it on the primary ballot is less people vote. So they have a better chance of passing it. because if everybody turns out from the school and votes yes, maybe the no's don't show up because a lot of people don't vote in primary elections.
You should vote all the time.
Well, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I know.
So that's what happens. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 48 minutes past the hour. Feel free to buzz in here. See, what I don't like is this association thing. You're backed by this person. See, because I still don't understand. If somebody endorses you, or somebody gives you money, why does that mean that you are all in on that person, or all in on that group? I don't think you are.
Like, if I donated you money?
Yes. If you donate money for me or endorse me, which I assume are both very big positives, does that mean that I believe everything you believe? Does that mean that I'm going to follow you lockstep in everything you want done? That's impossible. Nobody could do that. You can't please everybody who gave you money. You can't please everybody who endorsed you. And I'm getting a little tired of the endorsements, by the way. Listen, endorsements mean something if you're a former political office holder with some stroke. Or maybe you're the former person in office in that area, or maybe if you've held national office. I don't care if Jim and Tammy down the street, who are a member of the Republican Party, endorse you. Who cares? Who cares? I don't. Okay, good for you.
Well, they got people, I guess.
Well, tell them. You think that means anything to people on the whole?
I don't think endorsements don't mean a whole lot to me in general anyways.
They can turn me around on somebody. If somebody comes up who I know is dignified and did good with their political career, and I think they're not going to sully their reputation endorsing somebody who is not up to par, an endorsement can mean something to me. Like, obviously, this thing with Governor Strickland endorsing Randy Weston. Now, I'm not all in on Randy Weston, but the fact that Governor Strickland is willing to put his name on there, I say, well, you know, I know who Governor Strickland is. I don't know that Governor Strickland would endorse somebody who was going to do awful things.
Well, I don't think.
And I also know that in a primary, that people don't endorse two candidates. So I have to say to myself, okay, why did they endorse that person and not that person?
But I don't care who you like more than the other. I care who I like.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, I can vote for the person who has zero endorsements if I like them. Endorsements don't really mean a whole lot to me.
Well, I don't think that's true, though, because I think if you were a fan of Tracy Richardson for the last four terms, then you probably do care who she likes and why she might not like the other person.
Well, if you're a fan of Tracy Richardson, you probably remember the primary, and so you're probably not going to be fond of Weslin to begin with.
Well, and you've also got to wonder, why do they not like her? Why?
Weslin?
Yeah. See, this is where I think the backfire is happening on her. The backfire is every time she gets like a bit of an outlaw group, like this gun owner group, to back her, basically they say...
I mean a bit of an outlaw group?
Well, they're not the big leading group in Ohio.
Yeah, but I don't know if you should call them an outlaw group.
Well, what are they? Are they a lobbyist? Are they lobbying? I don't know. What are they?
The Ohio gun owner sounds like a lobby to me.
Okay, so they're a lobby.
Maybe.
I don't know what they are.
Sounds like an organization of some kind at the very
outlaw least. Group to me means you're not a lobby. You're just telling me who you like.
Well, that's not an outlaw. Why
isn't that an outlaw?
Well, because outlaws break the law, as it would say. You're
break
outside.
The law?
Yes, outlaw, outside of the law.
No,
break the law.
No.
Outlaws break laws.
Oh, God, you're so literal. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is an outlaw group is somebody who is not a political party, who is out on the fringe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's why I mean it.
Okay, well, okay.
I'm going to take everything you say word for word, then.
Well, I mean...
Why are we having a conversation about... Sometimes you go off in the left field. What I'm saying is, the point of this conversation is that when... The problem is, outlaw, what I mean is, not of the party, is what I'm saying here, because she seems to think that the... party, the DeWine group, is... How many times did they say DeWine in that little speech?
By the way, they a few.
Okay, so the point is, the out of step with that group, like this, when she just reminds people, every time she says that they don't like her. And I don't know if that's a good thing. These people got elected. Kasich got elected.
Yeah.
DeWine got elected.
Yep.
Okay. So you keep reminding people that those people aren't supporting
now,
you.
Now, look, I'm not even going to... I think it was almost a bit of a promo for Ben. I mean, I know he went on a whole big spiel, but, like, I mean, look, if you look up what the OACOP is, it's the Chief of Police Association for Ontario. You know, he was endorsed, or apparently he ran campaigns for a whole bunch of people when he worked at the State House. I mean, I knew he worked at the State House. I didn't know he worked on, like, DeWine's campaign and Kasich's campaign. He's got more experience than I thought he had. If anything, it makes Ben look better in my eyes.
Well, you gotta wonder why these people are backing him.
Ben?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's the, like, you know, what's the word? Establishment candidate?
Is he?
Apparently, I mean,
he wouldn't like that. What's establishment mean?
He worked at the State
let's
House.
Let's get the definition out.
I mean, come on, he worked at the State House. He ran, apparently, he was part of the Wines campaign, part of Kasich's campaign, you know, a whole slew of things. I mean, that's...
Ben Weber wasn't. I think the people who support him, they're saying, were.
Well, I mean, yeah.
See, there you misrepresented facts.
I misheard. There's a difference.
I don't know. You're all over the place. But that's all this is. And I don't know if it's good to keep reminding people. Didn't they say the guy who ran Kasich's presidential campaign?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Kasich won Ohio in
Well, he's from
primary.
Ohio.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
People usually
I think it's the only state he won.
People usually win their states.
No, Al Gore didn't win his home state.
Okay, that's one of them.
Yeah. It happens. Especially in a primary. In Kasich, I still don't know why he's holding on.
Well, I guess a primary is a different thing on the state level, but yeah.
So, you know, and that was against Trump in 2016.
By the way, they just claim that they're a Second Amendment organization.
So what's an outlaw political group? Are they doing illegal activity? Look that up.
Outlaw.
Political group.
Political.
Because we want to make sure we have all this since you brought this into question.
Can refer to several distinct concepts, including far-right paramilitary groups such as the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, viewed as extremist threats, organizations targeted for bans due to alleged violence, example, discussions around the Muslim Brotherhood, or Law Student Association focused on LGBTQ plus rights, far-right extremism, yeah.
Oh, so not illegality.
I mean, violent threats, paramilitary far-right.
But that's one, it's not the definition I'm talking about. I'm talking about far-right organizations that claim that these conservatives, these Republicans, they're not the real Republicans.
I just call
So I was right, go ahead and say it.
I just call them fringe groups.
No, go right, because you said outlaw men illegal, that's not what it means when I'm talking about political groups here.
Are they using violence? Are they accused of violence?
I don't think that's what it said. I think that the third definition there was what? Groups, far-right, extreme.
It's all one. I can read the entire thing.
But what's the first sentence say?
Outlaw political group can refer to several distinct
concepts. Several concepts. And I'm talking about the third concept. The groups that consider themselves the real conservatives, and the DeWine group, that's not the Kasichs, those aren't the real conservatives. Even though they call themselves Republicans, they're not the real conservatives. And that's what this group
is. That's not part of the definition.
What did you say there at the end then?
Viewed as extremist targeting, extremist. Viewed as extremist threats, organizations targeted for bans due to alleged violence.
No, I'm not talking about
example,
that.
Example, discussions around the Muslim Brotherhood or law student associations focused on LGBTQ plus rights.
Okay, but what was the end? There was more to that.
No. I mean, and then it just goes into an example. Outlaw at ASU, Indiana, and it's OUTL, like it's a acronym for something, it's like, you know, capitals there.
Let me see that. Okay. Far-right extremism. Far-right extremism. Okay, that's paramilitary. I'm talking about that. Not talking about targeted organizations. Some groups, such as hip-hop group Outlaws, are not strictly political parties, but are associated with anti-establishment rhetoric. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. A hip-hop group named Outlaws.
Huh?
A hip-hop group named Outlaws.
That's in the political definition.
Literally some groups, such as the hip-hop group Outlaws.
Yeah. I don't know who that...
referring to a specific group called Outlaws who are associated with anti-establishment rhetoric.
What do all they do? Anti-establishment rhetoric. That's what all that is. Not illegality. Anti-establishment rhetoric. Anyway. That's all it was, and that is a definition of it.
Fringe.
That's the point. Fringe. But fringe doesn't mean illegal.
Fringe is a better word. It means outskirts.
You know, there are things, you know, I think you need one of those books. Good word association books. So you're not using the same word all the time.
Well, I think
if you want to use fringe, you can.
I think words have a good purpose. Outlaw would typically refer
but
to
but not in this case.
All right.
If I said outlaw gunman, yes, you might have something.
But we could have skipped this entire conversation.
Well, too late.
You
stopped
fringe.
See, if when I said it, you would have just let it go. You knew what I was talking about. I was saying, oh, they're doing illegal activity there.
Well, you use the word outlaw. I mean,
again, the word is not associated with that in the definition.
I don't know.
Oh, God, another inane conversation. All right, we'll be back right after this.
That was... Mm-hmm. Had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?